And welcome to Ngā Mele o Hawaii. This is Beth Post. I'm here in the studios at KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California, and here to bring you 2 hours of beautiful Hawaiian music. Velina, welcome. And so happy to be here in the studios on a bright and sunny February day. And very excited to bring you today's show. It's one that I've been thinking about and forming and framing, and I think it may actually end up being one in a series that will continue for the next, maybe next week at least, and maybe down the line, because it's a show that is generated by the playlist, which I am calling Ngā Mele o Ka Papa Mele Hawaii. And that is the songs of the Hawaiian song class, translation kind of generally. And what does that mean? Well, one of the amazing silver linings of this pandemic that we've been suffering, there's so much loss and so much awful stuff that you kind of have to seek some silver lining in order to just be sane. Well, many of us who enjoy Hawaiian culture and want to learn more of it have been able to find such a silver lining in the immense trove, the treasure full of opportunities, learning opportunities that the digital realm has offered us during this time. It's unprecedented, the amount of traditional understanding, knowledge, practice that's being shared by way of Zoom and other types of platforms online, so that Hawaii can be sharing itself literally to the world in a way that has been absolutely unheard of. And I've been able to take advantage of many of those opportunities, including a wonderful class put on by a wonderful guy named Kaliko Beamer Trap. And he has a website that I recommend called Olelo Online, Olelo being the Hawaiian word for language or speaking. And he has in the past had a bunch of kind of self-driven, self-teaching modules that are absolutely wonderful. But with the advent of the use of Zoom, and so many people have jumped on it, he too has jumped on it and has been teaching by Zoom Hawaiian language, straight out Hawaiian language and conversational language, but also this one special class that he gives, actually has three sections, about learning Hawaiian language through the songs of Hawaii. And this is an especially fun course for those of us that have been singing Hawaiian music or dancing hula to Hawaiian music, but have not really been able to fully appreciate the interpretation from a knowledgeable viewpoint of what the words mean. We might have the idea, we might read somebody else's interpretation or translation, but to really understand the structure of the language and why the language is used in the manner it is, and all the different types of ways in which Hawaiian language can be presented as either straightforward, or as those of you who listen a lot know, that the idea of kona, all the nature metaphors. But in terms of the language, even the idea that there are kind of low register and high register forms of language. Well, we'll get into more about that, but what I plan to do is bring you some number of mele. Currently, I have a list of 37, I think it is, somewhere between 25 and 35 mele that have been taught since we started in the last week of June of 2020 on a weekly basis, meeting with Kumu Kaliko on Zoom and having him present us a mele, a song, and sending us the Hawaiian-only words, lyrics for it, and it was up to us to try to use some of the resources that we have, either our own Pukui and Albert books or this wonderful resource called Vehi Vehi Viki Viki, which is Explain Quick, kind of interpreted. It's an online dictionary, essentially, for Hawaiian language, and try to piece together what each of the songs means. It's been a wonderful way to learn lots of vocabulary, as well as pickings here and there, but lots of here's and there's with 30-some songs, of the structure, of the grammar of Hawaiian language. So I'm going to share some of those songs. We'll get as far as we can. And as we kind of kick off the show, after our second tune is actually going to lead us into a little show within a show about opera singers in Hawaii, or Hawaiian opera singers, and actually just a mini little lesson, a mini little sharing of what I've come to understand on opera in Hawaii. Yeah, indeed, it was a big deal, just like it was here. And many of the folks that sang in Hawaii sang in San Francisco at the opera as well. So we'll do a little bit of that. And then about halfway through the show, at the top of the next hour, we will be delighted to have, by way of phone, Kumu Kaliko himself. And so he'll be able to tell a little bit more about his background and the nature of the show and, I don't know, whatever else we decide to talk about. So I am the theme. There is no order in which I'm presenting this, shy of presenting the songs in reverse chronological order in which they have been presented to the class, to the Papa Mele Hawaii class. Well, Papa is class, so the Papa Mele Hawaii. And so you're going to find them scattering all over the place, with the exception of this little mini excursions that will take a couple of times into opera. So we will start with the mele that was most recently presented in class. It's a fun one. It's a classic one. It is from somebody whose voice and styling and command of the language is much, much respected. But she's also just amazing singer. It's Janoa Keawe, and she is going to bring you a song that is a really very sassy. I'm going to get the music first, and then we'll talk about what the song was about. Ialii no oi from Janoa Keawe. Here we go. Auntie Janoa Keawe just kicking that door right open with Ialii no oi. So much about that song makes it have been a choice that Kumu Kaliko gave as a rating of excellent version. In fact, it's almost canonical. One of the things that Kumu Kaliko provides in this course is an email with a variety, a little intro to whatever mele we're going to study. And then he'll pick out at least two, sometimes four or five versions of the mele and give a breakdown of why he thinks this song is representative of how why this performance is representative of how this song was meant to be, or the language is well presented. And so what I'm going to be doing throughout the show is actually sharing Kumu's ideas about the nature of the song and why he chose different versions. And then I tried to choose the version that was indicated as perhaps the best presentation of language or perhaps the best presentation of how the song was meant to be. In many, many cases today, you're going to be hearing the versions sung by the actual composer, which is really cool because then you know whatever the language is, it's what was meant to be. Whatever the tone and the lyricism and the lilt of the song was supposed to be, it's going to be there because it's the composer performing it. Now, in the case of Ili'i no Oi, the composer is unknown. It was supposed to have been composed somewhere in the early 1900s. And Kumu Kaliko says it's a song that's generally sung in a very upbeat style and with a smile on one's face. But is that smile for the melody or for the content? And then he goes on to mention that Genoa Keawe's version I just gave you is an excellent version where all the verses are included. And that's often the case. Many times there's 4 or 5. In some melee, there's 8, 10, 20 verses. But oftentimes you might only get the first in a chorus or you might just get 2 verses and the haina verse. But in this case, with Auntie Genoa, all verses were included. Kumuliko's version says, Hawaiian is excellent. The late Genoa was a native speaker. And there was a beautiful use of a T sound instead of a K sound every once in a while. And that this was a beautiful example of the female falsetto breaks, which are often used to express okina in some places, but also are just used as decorative function. And that kind of singing, that falsetto, that ha'i ha'i, that broken falsetto break, has become a standard for this song in particular. Now, what's the song about? Well, I ali'i no oi is basically saying, you are a chief indeed, goes on to say, and I am but a commoner, and I'm beneath you, but I'm a subject to your words. I have stayed here and taken care of you, cooked for you, waited for you, for your whole selfness. Your whole body. No konui kino la. And those la, every once in a while, that's just a cha-la-la. So it goes on to kind of say, you know, this person isn't necessarily reciting all that she or he, probably a she, has done for this person. But kind of like how the person in response, it is not a two-way street in this relationship, I do not think. There's some rebuffing of the person for, you know, show a little tenderness. Like, you know, come on, give me a little something in response to what I've given you. So it's sassy. It's like, I see you for who you are kind of song. So I suppose that's where that smile on the face comes. A smile isn't always pure pleasure, is it? All right. Second song steps us into the exploration of opera in Hawaiian music. The mele itself is Sweet Lei Mamo. It's a beautiful song. It has a lot of love indicated in its imagery and how it's composed. It has a rather slow melodic method to it. It might sound a little sad, but if you see the words, it's actually not sad. Kumu Kaliko says, we can see this as an example where the words lead and the meaning is paramount in the style of old Hawaiian compositions. So one of the things that this song has in common with the last song is that it uses something called high register language, that there are actually ways in which one speaks rather like we do. You know, like even me saying rather instead of kinda, right? Rather like we do, kinda like we do. Well, there's an elevated level of speaking that was kind of used for chiefly speech. If you were to want to address a chief, you would speak in a higher register. I don't mean vocal register, I mean word register. And the last song, right in the title, I ali'i no oi, the way it's structured, really, if you were speaking regularly, it would be he ali'i no oi, which is a king, indeed, you are. But the e instead of the he indicates that it's a higher register, so it's being used as if addressing someone of a chiefly level. Similarly, in Sweet Lei Mamo, even in the title, the Mamo flower was one that was highly respected. It's a form of golden lehua, and it is an indicator, a symbol of descendancy, but typically what it means, it's an esteemed high-class descendancy. So somebody comes from an esteemed class if they are called a mamo. And it's really very kind of interesting. Now, this song was written in 1897 and pretty much goes along the way of a lot of Hawaiian poetry goes, which is calling upon the beauty of the uplands in the forest, the leafy roundness of the fern, the cool breeze that comes through that forest and precipitates, condenses moisture onto the dew, typically a very intimate reference, and how one plant is the sweet companion of another plant, etc. So it's all about being kind of together, expressed through nature idioms and metaphors. So the version that I want to bring you today is the oldest recorded version that Kumuliko could find. And actually, it's a version that was presented by my friend and fellow former Hawaiian music DJ, Norman Markowitz. Mahalo, a Norm. But it's sung by one of the most world-famous, in his time, opera singers from Hawaii, Tandi Kaohu Mackenzie. That's M-A-C, capital K-E-N-Z-I-E. Born in 1892, passed away in 1963. And there's so much beautiful story, but I want first for you to hear his beautiful song, his beautiful voice. So let's listen to Tandi Mackenzie singing Sweet Lei Mamo. A lovely, sweet song. To me, it doesn't sound sad. It sounds very loving. So did you love that voice? Tandi Mackenzie. You know, he's got some biographies out there, and I had the chance to read a bunch of them. His story is not much of a happy one. He was the child of parents. He lost his dad early. His mom decided that she needed to go elsewhere to earn a living. He was born in Maui. And like happens in couples all over the world and families all over the world, but oftentimes very comfortably happens in Hawaiian culture, the child was left with grandparents to grow up. He had an older brother who was able to go away to the Kamehameha schools, and poor Tandi really, really missed his brother, luckily was able to go to Kamehameha school. And from that point on, once he was out and about, people started to notice this gentleman who had an amazing voice. And he was encouraged to pursue his training, his vocal training, in the United States and then ultimately over in Europe and Italy. Interestingly, in one portion of his history, Tandy was the recipient of a $500 or $700 scholarship to go and get vocal training. That it was a scholarship program that was back in Hawaii, and he had no idea who had submitted it, but he actually won it. And as it turned out, it was Prince Kuhio who actually sponsored that scholarship for him, because Kuhio had heard from a variety of other folks that had heard Tandy's voice that this young man really deserved to go out and get some training. And it's not surprising that there was an ali'i behind that, because in fact the ali'i from the inception of opera showing up in Hawaii were behind it. The first opera in Hawaii premiered on February 11th in 1854. It was a version of Donizetti's Daughter of the Regiment. Not much performed around, but occasionally by the San Francisco Opera, I do believe. The first opera house was actually built in 1879 after opera was really thriving. Between 1854 and 1861, opera really just became well established in the islands. In Honolulu in particular, there was a pre-opera house. There was a place to perform. And actually, the ali'i were very much involved in the opera. For example, King Kamehameha IV, King Liholiho, worked as a stage manager for a production of Verdi's Il Trovatore, during which Queen Emma was singing in the chorus. And by the 1880s, we had Princess Miriam Likelike and her good friend Bernice Pauahi Bishop singing on stage in a production of Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore. And in fact, Queen Liliuokalani, she not only wrote 500-something mele, but she's reported to also have penned an opera called Mohailani, Offering to Heaven. As I mentioned, there was an opera house built in 1879. It was called the New Music Hall. Sadly, it burned to the ground in 1895, was then restored and titled the Hawaii Opera House. That was demolished in 1917 to make room for the now federal building. So we now have Hawaii Opera Theater functioning today to bring opera to the islands. But it's not something new. It's a long-standing history. And Charles E. King, who was one of the most prolific writers in the turn of the century, actually wrote an opera called Prince of Hawaii, Hawaii's best-known opera. That was in 1924, and it contained 24 songs, several of which are still popular, and we're going to hear them today a little bit later, and I'll tell you what they are. But let's get back to Tandy. Tandy McKenzie managed to get his over to New York City and get some training, and then get over to Europe and get a whole lot of neat offers to sing. He picked up a relationship, which ended up being a marriage relationship. He married a woman named Maud. And here's where the story starts to turn a little bit sad. Throughout his efforts to land jobs, in particular in the New York Met Opera, the Metropolitan Opera, unfortunately, his wife, who insisted on being his manager, thwarted all of his efforts for these kinds of things, apparently by being very difficult to work with. Very, very sad. So Tandy actually had to make 3 auditions to the Met, and he finally got hired, but it didn't last long because people just said, no, we can't deal with your wife. He also had an attempt to be hired in Europe, same thing happened there, and was singing for the San Francisco Opera. Yes, indeed, right down the street from us here. And unfortunately, that didn't work out because of Maud. So they went down to Southern California in the hopes of breaking into the industry that was new there, the film industry. And he had some gigs, but he lost them too. So eventually he came home and was known for always, no matter where he was singing opera, he never forgot his Hawaiian roots. And he would often sing Hawaiian mele. And it is said that when he would sing Hawaiian mele, he would keep a Hawaiian tone about it. He wouldn't operize it super, super, super. And so I'm going to bring you two examples of that. And this is from the one album you can actually find out on digital media called Tandy McKenzie, A Rare Hawaiian Experience. And I'm going to bring you a song that I'm not sure it actually came from the play The Bird of Paradise. I've been trying to track it down. There's actually two versions of a song, My Bird of Paradise, and I can't tell whether this is the one that was actually in that very famous and rather ridiculous play that was popular on Broadway during Tandy's height of popularity. So he'll bring you My Bird of Paradise and then another Paradise song, a lovely song called Hawaiian Paradise. Let's hear it and give our good thoughts to Tandy McKenzie.
I see my heaven in your eyes. Each bird longs for its love mate. How can love wait when you smile? Your eyes are little wings of love.
That's a beautiful, beautiful voice, don't you think? That's a full operatic classical voice that you hear singing that song, at least in my opinion. Did it bring to mind other voices that you might have heard, those of you who are into the realm of my age, which is more than 50 and less than 70 years? It might have made you think of some of the operatic style singers that were very popular in musicals in the films, starting in the 20s, moving all the way into the 60s. in particular, that voice sounded to me a lot like Mario Lanza. Do you remember him? It kind of had that tone. Now, Mario Lanza was very famous in his own right. He had popular recordings and operatic recordings. He was an opera performer. But perhaps most people in the States came to know him because he played the lead in a film about one of the most popular opera singers in America ever, Caruso, right? You remember Caruso? He was such a big guy, such a big name in opera. Well, Lanza kind of launched his career by being him in the film. And as it turns out, Tandy McKenzie had heard Caruso's recordings and fell in love with opera. He had never heard opera before until he went over to the continent, and was presented with this kind of singing and just was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Now, there's another guy in our generation that many of you are probably very, very familiar with, but not as an opera singer, as a real kick-butt entertainer, an amazing voice, an amazing composer, an amazing instrument player, just an amazing guy who, sadly, we lost last year. And that's Willie Kay. Well, the reason I bring him up is he, too, at the age of 8, fell across Caruso and Lanza. His dad took him to see the film The Great Caruso, which starred Mario Lanza, as I said. And Willie just totally fell in love with opera and said that's what he wanted to do. And, of course, he went on to launch a career as a popular Hawaiian music singer, but always kind of harbored that love of opera. And in the first bit of the 2000s, he started to really kind of study it. In fact, while you can't say that he was professionally trained or trained in any serious way operatically, he did actually get a bunch of coaching. He actually conferred with some local expatriates from Italy who knew about opera and got some folks from Italy to actually come and help him learn his language, his pronunciation, and also learn how to open his voice so that he could bring in that operatic quality. You don't believe me? Well, I'm going to play for you a recording of Nessun Dorma that Willie Kay is going to sing that for you, that aria. And it's when he was in 2009 asked to perform with the Hawaii Youth Symphony. It's pretty amazing. The sound quality, it's not a professional recording. It's a live recording, so it's not all that there. But you can really sense that this gentleman put his heart and soul into learning this operatic piece. I'm going to follow that with an actual recording of Willie from one of his Christmas albums called Willie Wonderland, and in which he sings Ave Maria. And it's very interesting because on the album, the song is noted as Ave Maria, parenthesis, with strings, end paren. So let's hear a Hawaiian singing opera. No other Hawaiian like him, Willie Kay. Apologies. You're listening to Nā Melio Hawaiʻi at KDRT LP 95.7 FM in Davis, California. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, Willie, I hope that you are singing away up there, not only in the most amazing Kanikapila band, but up there with Caruso and Lanza and all the others that have gone before, and just singing away. So much power in that guy. Have you ever had the chance to see him live? All right, well, we'll take a pause on our journey into Hawaiian opera and get back to our topic, at the big topic at hand, which is the songs that I've been taught by, shared by, given mana'o of in Papa Mele Hawaii on Olelo Olaine by Kumu Kaliko Beamer Trap. First, let me just remind you that KDRT and the KDRT and the California Department of Public Health would like to remind our listeners of 5 easy steps that you can take to protect yourself and your community from the novel coronavirus, aka COVID-2019. 1. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. I just love it how this announcement is written, because it just says, wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Like, once? Ever? No, of course not. Wash your hands with the frequency that is required when you're out and about and likely to be contacting germs other than your own. And even your own. Wear a mask at all times when leaving your home, and while you're out away from your home, and even in your home if you're having to have people into the house for any kind of delivery or reasons. Disinfect surfaces of your home when you've been about. And you know what? That includes like your phone, your purse, any of those personal objects that you take out and about with you, and even like your car. Your car stick shift, as if anybody has one of those anymore, but you know what I mean. And your steering wheel and other areas that are going to be carrying the stuff that you carry into the car when you've been out and about. And of course, please do this. It's hard, I know, and not everybody has the option to, but when you can, please, please, please stay home when you're sick. Don't be prey to this gotta work through it kind of culture that persists in our space here. Being sick is a message that you need to take care of yourself. In this case, with a pandemic, when you take care of yourself, if you're sick, you're taking care of your whole community. Please, mahalo. And lastly, here's some really cool stuff. If you're a resident, or if you just work or volunteer in Davis on a regular basis, you can get quick, free weekly tests by registering at this website, healthydavistogether.org. Now, if you don't want to go online, you can also call them at 530-754-TEST. And I think I looked that up last week. It was 8378. So the website, healthydavistogether.org, 530-754-TEST 8378. Now you can learn more about the testing and in general about the coronavirus in our area by going to yolocounty.org/coronavirus, CoronaVirus. All right, you're listening to Nā Melio Hawaii here at KDRTLP 95.7 FM in Davis, or maybe you're listening online at kdrt.org. Glad to have you with us. We're going to continue with exploring Mele from Papa Mele Hawaii and Kumu Kaliko Beamer Trap, who will be with us in our second hour. Let's move to a simpler song, a fairly straightforward song that is very popular today and is sung a lot, and the gold standard of which was provided in the early 70s by the brothers Casimiro, Roland and Robert, who also first came into popularity with Peter Moon and the Sunday Manoa. Very early on, they published a couple of albums, that one of which contained Aloha Tower. It's a fun song. And it was written by Clarence Kinney in the late 60s about what was at one time the tallest building in Hawaii. The Aloha Tower is 10 stories high. It has 4 clocks. and one on each of the cardinal faces, and was for 40 years the very tallest building on the islands. This song was a fun one to learn because there's lots of new descriptive words that you can piece out of it. How about if you can hear these Hawaiian words in the song? Ohe ohe, ohe ohe, ohe ohe. Tall and straight. Kila kila, we hear that a lot. Majestic. How about, this is a fun one. Ipu kukui. Ooh, what is that? An ipu? And kukui. You might know what kukui nuts are. Well, it turns out that if you look at it strictly, it's a lamp. It can also be seen as a lighthouse, but it's a lamp or a candlestick. And in the song, see if you can hear associated with ipu kukui, a napa napa, which means to sparkle or sparkling. Similarly, we have ma lama lama, which is a brightness or brilliance. Those are some fun words to look out for. So see if you can hear those different words and recognize that they're all used to talk about the wonders and beauty of the Aloha Tower in Honolulu Harbor. Here we go. We're going to actually have that very great standard-setting version of Aloha Tower from the first two albums by the Brothers Casimero.
Ohe, ohe, Aloha Tower, aihune. Kila kila, ike ana, a Honolulu. Ohe, ohe, Aloha Tower, aihune. Kila kila, ike ana.
So smooth and easy, huh? As the Brothers Casimero and Aloha Tower. Now, here was the first song that we had an out-and-out, very, very hearable haina, or hainer, as some folks that joke about it, the haina I mai ana kapuana, which, if you listen to enough Hawaiian music, 60-70% or more of the songs are going to have a last verse that starts with that line. And that's how I started to realize I could actually understand this language, at least syllabically, when I was living in Hawaii in the 80s and had to ask somebody, what does haina i mai ana kapuana mean? And they looked at me like, what are you saying, white girl? What are you saying, Haole? How did you listen to that? And it's like, well, you listen to enough music and you hear it over and over again. It means, essentially, interpretively, you can think of it as the story has now been told, or the refrain has been told, is kind of a more literal interpretation. In other words, it's how you wind it up and you say, okay, I've told my story about the Aloha Tower. And typically there's another couple of lines that go back to the first verse or identify the most salient quality of whatever the song was about. So there you have a little bit of language learning if you hadn't already learned that before. That's usually the first thing anybody listening to Hawaiian music recognizes is the haina. Okay. Let's see. Where are we next? Well, how about we go to a fun song that has two different tunes to it. Really kind of interesting. It's a song that, unlike, let's see, what did we have before? We had Sweet Le Mamo that had a sad sound to it, but was in fact a love song. This song doesn't necessarily feel sad, but is in recognition of an event about someone who had had a sad life before the song had happened. And it's a song written by Jay Kahinu that honors Queen Emma and the trip that she took to Kauai about 2 years, almost 2 years, after the death of both her husband and her son. Her son died first, and then within the year, her husband died. Some say of a broken heart or a guilty heart, because whatever, there was some problem in his mind about what the cause of his young four-year-old Alexander's son, why he died. So very, very sad. Queen Emma took it hard. Well, who wouldn't? And just took a long time to recover. So some of the people who knew her well said, well, why don't you, you know, take a trip. Go up to Kauai and take a tour. She loved riding horses. So this was a chance to go on an actual trek about the island. And there's many, many famous songs and many chants, many mele that aren't set to music but are chanted in the traditional style about Queen Emma's trip to Kauai. And in fact, there's a whole hula festival around that event, in particular of how she trekked all the way up from Waimea up into Koke'e, up way up into near Waialeale, into the park that we now can go to. And it's pretty interesting that it's taken on such a life of its own. So this song doesn't speak about that portion of her trip, but really when she was more on the north side of the island of Kauai, and talks about the beautiful hala trees of an area called Naue, which is up near Haena. It's kind of, if I remember correctly, it's somewhere between Lumahai and Haena. So it's definitely on the north side, a beautiful, luscious, luscious, amazing green area of North Kauai. Kumu Kaliko says, one very interesting thing about the song is that there are actually two melodies that go with it. There's an original melody, and then there's a melody composed by Helen DeShea Beamer. And there's a reason behind the second version. And my understanding of it, I think, is there's this sense that whenever you have a traditional chant, which this mele was originally published as a chant, not as a sung tune, that it's best to have a chant-like presentation. And then if you're going to have a tune, sing the tune as the second, as the repeated verse. So that's what we're going to hear in the second version of the song, Nahala o Naue, which is performed by Mahi Beamer, who is the son of Helen DeShea Beamer. And before that, we're actually going to hear from Ray Kini and his Hawaiians with George Kainapau. And this song, this will be the original melody first, and it's also, the mele is titled Naniwale Nahala, whereas a little bit down the line, or in the Beamer version, it's Nahala o Naue. They're both the same song, both the same lyrics, both about Queen Emma's trip to the north side of Kauai, but two different melodies. See if you can tell which one you like and which one has that more traditional sense of having a chant first and then the mele, the song. Okay, here we go.